Okay, we continue in the fourth chapter of the Rambam, Hilchos Toin V'Nitan Halacha Aleph. Okay, so the first three halachas are really very easy. Okay, we start you off very easy here. It's basically just telling you that the claim has to be a definite claim of something that we could, it's very clearly defined, and the denial has to be a very defined denial. And it's in a number of ways that can happen. Halacha Aleph. Ein moide b'mikzas chayiv shvua min ha-Torah. A moide b'mikzas does not have to make a biblical oath. Ad shi ta'ena b'dover shebemida o b'mishkol o b'minyan. Unless there's a claim against him in something that is measured, something that is weighed, or something in number. We'll all have examples of this. And also, v'yodalo, and the confession has to similarly be v'davar shebemida o shebemishkol o shebinyan, something that is measured, weighed, or counted. Ketzed, let's have some examples. The fellow says, asara dinarim yesh li biyodcha. You have 10 dinars of mine in your hand. 10 is a very clear number, right? The guy says, ein lecha biyodi ela chamishi. You only have, finally have 5. So you had a number, I have a number. Very good. So you're going to swear on that. Kor chitim yeshu biyodcha. Kor is an amount. It's more of a measure. It's not a number. It's a measure of wheat. He says, ein lecha biyodi ela lesach. There's only a lesach, which is half a kor. So it's a different measure. Shtei litrin shel meshi yeshu biyodcha. Now that's a weight. 2 liters of felt you have by me. Ein lecha biyodi eli rotel, only a rotel, which is a smaller amount of that weight. All those cases are reza chayiv. You're chayiv because it's definite on both ends. V'chein kol liyotz is anything similar to that. Avim amar lava, what if the guy says the fine claim? Ki smole dinori mesarlech. I gave you a what do you call it? A pocketbook full of coins. Okay, it was full. The guy said, "Lo masarti le chamish." You only gave me 50. Well, the denial is good, but the claim is not anything definite, or the opposite. Me'a dinarim masarti loch. I gave you 100 dinars, and he says, "Lo masarti le tzroshlim." You only gave me a pile of dinars. So denial is not definitive. And more than that, when you gave it to me, he continues, "Velo manisi osam b'fana," and you didn't count them out before me. You know, you gave me a pile. You didn't even count them up. You may have thought it was 100, but you didn't tell me. The ani adam mehayibah. I don't know how much was there. Umashi hinachta ata no tail, and that which you're leaving, you want to take. In other words, the guy says, "Here's. I'll admit you gave me a bag, but you didn't tell me many." All those cases, I raise a potter. There's no obligation to make the oath because there's not a definitive claim or defense of that claim on that case.
He knows he gave him something. He's admitting he gave him something.
So here's the bag.
But it can't be quantified.
So here's the bag back.
Here's the bag, you know. You want the bag with the coins? Here's the bag with the coins. You never counted it out. There's nothing to swear for. What am I denying? If you said 100 and I say 50, I'm admitting part and I'm denying part. Here there's, it's very hard to deny when it's not clear. Okay? Because the guy's not saying no, it wasn't 100. He's saying you never told me it's 100. It could be the claim is clear. The claimant feels he's clear, but the denier is saying all I know is you gave me a purse full, and here's I'm giving you the purse back. You never told me a number. Okay, fine. Base. What if the claim is bayis moli tfu masaydoch? I gave you a house full of grain. He says he only gave me 10 kor. Now, or the reverse, asora kurin mosar tiloch, I gave you 10 kor. And he says, I don't know how much it was. You didn't count it before me. But that which you left, you take. Potter. He's potter. Again, both sides, it's not clear. Now, Gimel is a little bit interesting. The guy says the house was full till the ledge. And that's like a marker. Musartach, I gave to you. Valomer adachalon. No, you only gave me till the window, but not to the ledge. Then chayiv. Then the guy is chayiv. Even though it's not specifically an amount of kors, it still is a set amount, and that would make him chayv. All right, those are the three very easy halachas. Okay, now we go to things a little bit more interesting. Now, essentially, the whole idea of motive b'mikzas is where the guy really could have denied. Let's see, the guy makes a claim. You owe me 100. The guy says, I owe you 50. Now, really, the defendant could have theoretically denied the entire claim. He has the possibility to deny the entire claim. Now he's being moda mixas. Okay, so if you're moda half the claim and you deny the other half the claim, then you have to make an oath. But what if we're speaking, and that's a criteria that has to be that there is something that you can deny. There has to be something within the claim and within your response that you have something you can deny. But if there's nothing for you to deny, you're just not going to be able to make this oath, as we will see. A mode of a mitzvah chayev shvua ad sheyoda bedover she'efshol lichvarbo. The only time we have to make the biblical oath of mode of a mitzvah is when the person admits to something that he could have denied and yet did not deny. Ketzer, let's have an example. Mishatan chaver, a person claims against his friend and says, Me'a dinorim yesh li etzlecha. The guy says like this, you owe me 100 dinars, but I'm going to specify exactly how you owe me the 100 dinars. Chamishim shebishtar zeh, 50 is in this shtar that I have right in my hand with two witnesses signing it. Okay, now what's the law when a guy has a shtar with two witnesses signing it?
Collect.
You collect. There's nothing more to talk about. Could the defendant deny that claim? Couldn't very well deny it, could he? Vechamishim below shtar. And there's another 50 on me without a shtar. So he's claiming 100, but he's saying 50 is in this shtar right here, and 50 was an oral loan that I have no witnesses to. What does the guy respond? Now, what can he deny and what can't he deny?
The latter.
He can deny what?
The latter one.
He can deny the one without the shtar, but the one with the shtar he can't deny. What if he would admit it? Would he be doing anything? Actually, by admitting the one with the shtar?
No, because he's forced.
He's not giving us any voluntary information, is he? So what if the guy says, Ein lecha b'yadi, not you have by me, el lechamish b'shtar, the 50 of the shtar, I admit you owe me. So that is not ein ze motive mixus. That's not a motive mixus. Because we don't care what you say. You don't have to say anything. You'd have to pay the 50. It's not under dispute at all. You didn't do us any favors by admitting that. So what's really left? The other 50. But I never really admitted to anything. So ein ze motive mixus, why? Sheshtar lo telbo kviroso. Because since there was a shtar against him, if he would have denied it, it wouldn't have helped him anyway. Varei kol nechas of meshudimbo. Because all his possessions are leaned against that shtar. Vafilu cover, even had he denied it, bo hayechai v'sham, have to pay. So really, what's this 100 dinar claim really, at the end of the day, vis-a-vis the guy's response? It's really a 50 dinar claim. The first 50, is nothing. There's nothing to dispute. So really, he's saying, you owe me 50 from an oral oath. And you're going to say, you don't owe me? So then, it's not going to make a biblical oath. Levigav nishba heses achamishim. He'd make a shvus heses only on the 50, but there will be no biblical oath. I'm sorry?
It just defaults to one of the previous situations we learned.
Yeah, so that's exactly what it is. It's effectively only a case of you owe me 50 and you deny, I deny it. And that's all it is.
Is the whole foundation of Odemik the Mitzat because he could have denied it completely and he admits, like, is that the whole under foundation of all this? Like,
well, on the one hand, the guy has got no proof that he owes him anything. Right, the guy's got no proof he owes him anything. The guy, by admitting half, he probably, you know, the fact that he's admitting something, it's kind of saying, well, you know, he wouldn't have the chutzpah to steal the whole thing. You know, if a guy's making a claim against you, I mean, there is something to that, no? So if you totally deny it, well, listen, you say one thing, I say the other thing. But if I'm already admitting part of it, so it's kind of funny. The guy's asking for 100, I'm only admitting 50. So it's kind of, if you ask me just to guesstimate what's going on over here, could very well be the guy owes him the 100, but he doesn't have 100, so he's just a little bit to the 50 that he has. Therefore, the Torah says he has to swear on the other 50. The hope is he won't swear. If you really don't know, then just swear. But once the guy, it's unusual that there should be such disparity. The guy says, you owe me 100, and I said, you only owed me 50. What do you mean?
Because we also talk about...
Either he didn't know him. What would be the most likely scenario? You owe me 100, say, yeah, I do, but I ain't got the money. Or, I don't know what you're talking about. The guy to say 50, part of it, what do you mean part of it? You know? So, because it's not like the guy's making the claim who's a liar either, but you just can't prove it. But the guy's claiming 100, he probably has a reason for that. So why would the guy say 50? Probably because he doesn't have more than 50 to pay. That's why he's willing to say 50. So that we're more suspicious that he's lying, and therefore he has to make the oath.
So better than lie all the way.
If he does, no, but if he does, then we're not as suspicious. But then, rabbinically, though, he'll have to make an oath. So the rabbis step in to fill in the blanks there. Okay, hey is an interest. The beginning of hey is an interesting combination of two principles. There's two principles at work at the same time over here. First of all, when a guy has a shtar, and he writes a shtar not in the best way. Usually write a shtar with an exact number. I lent you 50 sloim, right? Now, what if the guy just writes on the shtar that I lent you sloim?
I lent you dollars.
Okay. Now, how would a court look? Forget about any argument. How would we analyze that? What would we know for sure the guy does owe? Let's say with witnesses and everything.
One?
No. For sure not one. It says sloim.
Yeah, it's plural.
Two. Okay. It'd have to be two. Two sellers. That is for sure two sellers. No question about it. More than that, the shtar can't get you more than two. That's point one. Point two, if you recall, we learned long ago that if a person finds a lost object, let's say I find a wallet in the street and I put an announcement, somebody, I found a wallet with money, claim it, blah, blah. Guy comes along, says, the Simon, yep, that's yours, okay. And now, here's the wallet, and now I give him the wallet with the money that's in it. And he goes, hey, what's this? There's only $100 in his wallet. I lost the wallet with $200. You took $100 from me. So we might think it's a claim of a straight-off $100 claim against the guy, right? And we might think to say the finder would have to make a shvuas hesus. The rabbis came along and said, we're not going to do that. Why? Because when you find something and you're leaving yourself open to have make a shvuas hesus, you're just going to make sure you don't see it. So therefore, in order to make sure that people return the object, we never will make the guy who found it make an oath, because when a guy returns a lost object, we put him on the upper hand. If he wanted to be a criminal, he would have kept it. Why would he? You know, you leave your jacket at the cleaners, you know, and they give you back the money in it, right? It's not likely they're going to take the money. They usually, you know, if the guy's not either he took it all, he's not going to give you part of it. So the Chachamim therefore said, when any case of Hashava Saveda, returning an object that you would have lost, we never make the guy swear. So with these two concepts, we'll pull the two together, merge them, and come up with the first half of Halacha Hey. Shtar Kasev Bo. On a shtar was written the following. Sloim. It just says sloim, without telling us how many. V'lo hiskir minin. Doesn't say the number. So Malva Omer. So Malva makes the following claim. Chamesh sloim sheyesh biyotcha heim ksuvim bo. This shtar was really written for five sloim. It's written for five sloim. I want you to pay me five sloim. Although it only says sloim, but he's maintaining it's five. V'aloiva Omer, and the loiva says, listen, man, ein lecha biyadi ela sholosh. All I really owe you is three. Okay? V'hei maksim shtar. And that's really what the shtar was for. The shtar was for three. Okay, so now let's analyze the math over here. The guy claims five. The other guy admits three. So normally we'd say, okay, well, let's put it this way. The two, there's no debate. No matter what you would have told me, you'd have to pay two. Because that's the minimum of two. That I don't need anybody to collect that two. So really, what's it boiling down to? It's a claim of three. The guy admits one and denies two. So on the surface, you'd think that would be a good case of motive emitzas. And you have to make a biblical oath. Because effectively, the two is not an issue. It's a claim of three. The guy's admitting one, and he's denying two. So you'd think it's a motor b'mitzvahs. Now, af al pi she'ein mechayvin also b'shtar zel b'shtayim, even though without anybody's discussion, you only could have collected two from this shtar, which, notice this, tes ayin. Okay, so we really don't consider the claim of five of the malva because of any substance, because you know he should have written five. So really, only we can get two. Vareho de basella, and he did admit one, which was something she'efter lichbarbo. It was something he could have denied. He could have said, "I don't know anything." So it seemed to have all the components to require a shvua of moda b'mitzas. Looky here, Hareza Potter. He doesn't have to make an oath at all. Why does he not have to make an oath at all? Because this is a case similar to returning a lost object. And the rabbis made a rule that anybody who returns a lost object is considered as a person who does not have to swear. Okay? So whenever the owner claims more than what you're offering him, then that's that we say you don't have to swear, right? If I give you back the money, you lost it. Here, I found your money. It's 100. What are you doing? It's 200. No. Yep, the guy didn't have to do anything. So how do we fit in over here? Well, let's think about this. Really, what can the owner really claim?
Two.
That's it. Five is nothing. There's nothing to support you on that. If anything, the shtar really supports the other guy. The shtar really is supporting the defendant, because slime means two. And if the court would just say, without any other information, they'd say, all we can collect is two, and there's no reason to collect any more. If anything, it's more mashba two, because really, if it was five, why in the world did you not write five? What kind of idiot are you? I left it up by mistake. Really? Well, maybe it was really only two. So now, the fact that so there's absolutely no real claim against the fellow. The fact that the guy says, I owe you three, he's really returning one to you, because he never would have to give any more from that shtar to begin with. So it's like he's returning a lost object, because you can't get more from this shtar. This is worse. The shtar, here's the point. The shtar that says sloim is worse than if the claimant would have no shtar and say, you owe me five, and the guy admits, or you owe me three, and the guy says, I only admit one. You understand what's going on? Because now it's my word against your word, and we would assume if I lent you three, you know, either you're going to deny it or you're going to pay it all out. And that's a fault in you. What do you tell me one out of three for? But here when the shtar is more indicative of it really being two. The shtar really, you know, if the guy really wanted to collect the five, he'd be a lot better off not bringing the shtar at all. The fact that the shtar is out here, and the shtar is much more apparently saying it's two. And certainly, here's the real point. If the, if the defendant would have said it's two, that's it. I don't even know if he'd have to make a shvus hesis, because he's corroborated by the shtar. That's the point. So the fact that he's offering one, it's like returning a lost object. That shtar saying sella has lost any potential for you to get more than two. And the fact the guy's willing, sort of the goodness of his heart, so to speak, to admit more than what he could get away with, right? And he wouldn't have to swear at all. In fact, he's saying one, so it's like he returned a lost object. Because if he now would have to make an oath, what would the guy say? He would rather just sit on this shtar and say nothing. Say, I claim as the shtar is, and now go get the money from me. So it's worse here, I'm saying. The fact he's got a shtar that says sloim, it works more against the balva than the lova, as opposed to a straight out oral claim with an ishtar, the omi three, and he says only owe you one.
Couldn't we apply this general scenario to almost anything about returning an object? There's a money.
Yes, anytime you return a lost object,
any of these other modern mitzvot, couldn't we just generally apply?
No, you owe me $100. All right, now either pay me or deny it. It's one of the two. And the guy says 50. Well, you're not returning a lost object because you have to make an oath before we. If you give me nothing, you have to make an oath anyway, right? And again, once I say it's 100 and you're saying 50, we're assuming really that you got 100. And the only reason saying it's 50 is because you don't have money to pay. But there's no other factors here. It's just one man's word against another man's word. Here you have a shtar that's much more indicative, like the defendant's claim to begin with. And therefore, he is really voluntarily giving money over, and it doesn't look bad at all. Because if he would have said nothing, he says, I have nothing to say. It's clear from the shtar it was two. They'd say, yep, it is. So you walk free. Totally walk free. So the fact that he offered one, that's like returning a lost object.
It's a little bit different than a lost object, though, because we're saying, because the guy who returned the lost object didn't have to give him back anything.
Didn't have to say a thing.
Right, so since he gave him something, we're saying he gave him something, therefore you can't contest what he's given.
Exactly.
And in this case, he didn't have to give him back that one extra, so we can't contest it.
That's.
But in a lost object, the reality is that object has been unguarded. Somebody could have taken the $100 out of the wallet, left the rest of the wallet there. So he could honestly say that's all there was in there was the 100.
It doesn't matter, but the fact that you have, the fact that he's brought it to you, you never would have had it otherwise.
You didn't have to do it.
Yeah. I know you didn't have to do it, but...
No, you would never have had it.
You can't contest what the guy gives back as a lost object.
But that's not...
Anything could have happened.
But that's not the logic they're using over there. They're just saying the guy is offering the money that you never would have had. So that's it. There's nothing to talk about. If he wanted to, he could have given you nothing.
So
the same thing here. The shtar really says you owe two.
So the guy could have owed him five and said, but I know if I just give him one more than I have to, I'm off the hook for the other two.
Well, yeah, listen, again, a liar can always win. And under every circumstance, a real liar. Well, let's say the guy found $500 and he keeps $300. He's also going to win. Again, we have to assume in Jewish law that people are honest unless the situation seems to present more the other side has a handle on the other side, right? So when I say you owe me 100, all right, we assume I'm telling the truth. Now, what are you going to say? You're going to say, I don't owe you anything. Well, then biblically, we can't make the guy make an oath because I don't know who to trust one way or the other. If the guy owed him 100, he give him 100. If the guy says, I owe you 50, what kind of an answer is that? So what's the assumption? We assume a guy wouldn't come up out of nowhere and say, guy owes me $100, because if he really didn't happen, the guy would say, get out of here. The fact that he's saying he owes you 50, that already is not a knock on him. Because what do you mean he owes you 50? You know what I mean? If you didn't borrow anything, say zero. And if the guy really lent you 50, it's not likely he said 100. He would have just said, give me the 50. If he really lent him 50, don't you think he'd ask him for 50? So the fact that the guy on a claim of 100 says 50, we assume he doesn't have the money. That's different. Here the shtar is saying exactly perfectly for him. All right. That is the first half. Now, the next part says the claims have to be very clear claims. And if they're not clear claims, that's also not enough to force a motive and mixas. V'cheina omer l'chavero, or someone says a friend, omer li abba, my father said, sheyesh li biyodcha mona, that you have 100 of mine. Okay? Vahalo, okay, so it's my father told me you have 100 of mine, right? So, and he says, Ein lecha biyodi elechamishim. So the guy says, I only have 50. That also is a reza meshiva veda. That's also meshiva veda, because again, he could deny it, because it's not the same as the malva himself making the claim, right? Because we say a guy wouldn't have the chutzpah to lie against the claimant, but here it's not the claimant over here. It's really lying against the father who's not there. So therefore, it's like he returns the object because we're not concerned because, you know, it's not such a sure thing. And therefore, the general rule is that, you know, it's a big chutzpah if a guy makes the claim on you and you're lying right to the guy, to that, that's a big chutzpah. If the guy is not lying to him, it's really lying to the father, well, you know, then that
would... What about my father told me on his deathbed?
That's what it is.
But it's still not going to make any difference.
Is that it?
In other words, here it's more likely he could have totally denied it. Okay? Again, when the direct borrower, he says, I lent him $100, we say a person won't have the chutzpah to lie in front of his creditor. Right? But in front of the son's creditor, you know, maybe he would lie. Okay? That's the idea. So therefore, he's potter af mishvus heses, and he doesn't even have to make a shvus heses. Nothing. Many times we said, you're potter, you have to still make a shvus heses. But here he doesn't have to make anything. Thanks.
I thought if it would be the deathbed scenario that we often give extra help to the orphans, you know, and to...
Yeah, but this is a different scenario because now he's claiming, the other guy's claiming it to him. Vain Sarachlamer goes without saying, Hodav Asmer. What if the guy himself admits and says, Mana Hoya La Vicha Biyadi, I had a mana of your father, right? Vinasati Lo Chamishim Dinar, and I gave him 50. Vinisha Lo Chamishim. And there's still 50. What's the case over here? Who's saying what over here?
So the guy's admitting he owes the father 100.
I owe him 100.
The loan was 100.
Oh, yeah, I owed him 100. I gave him 50, and I only owe him 50. Okay? Shezeh potter af mishvus heses. You don't have to make a shvus heses.
He's not denying it.
Well, he's the one who volunteered all the information.
Yeah, his son would have known.
How could the kid say anything? So that's what it's saying. It goes without saying. I don't even have to say this. He's writing it. I don't really have to tell you this, because you'd know this. But what if here's the case you want now. What if the inheritor says, V'amar, ani yodea bevadai, I know for sure, that you got 100 of my fathers, but I know you have 100 of my fathers. V'amar, ain lo v'yad elachemish, I only have 50, or ain lo v'yad of the 50, or only other took 50, Hareiz the motor mixes. That's the motor mixes. It's a direct claim. It's not sure, not hearsay. A direct claim and a direct admission of half, and the other half not. Let's try one more. Now we're going to add another scenario here. What if the guy, the lender, is the lender is holding on to a mashkin? So that puts him in a much more favorable situation. Guy says, "You owe me $100. I have this mashkin over here." And the guy says, "Well, I only owe you 50. Well, the question is, how much help has he been in the scenarios here? Because remember, once the guy's holding on to a mashkin, it's almost as like he's collected it already, right? So that's going to throw. So it's going to depend a lot on what the guy counterclaims. Now he could say, "I don't owe you nothing." He could say, "I owe you, let's say, half of the value of the mashkin, 2/3 of the value." What, you know, well, let's see what his claim is going to be. Who'll make a difference over here? Monali biyotcha al mashkin zet. You owe me $100, and here's the mashkin that I have from you. This is your shirt, your thing, and we don't know how much it's worth yet. And this guy says, "Ein biyadi alav echesh." You only got 50. I owe you 50. That I know I owe you. So we say hareze moda. The guy mitz viyishaveya, and he has to make an oath. That's the general rule. In other words, the mashkin is not considered like the halach. Remember we said if the guy says, "You owe me 100, he says, "Well, here's 50, and I deny the other 50. We said that's not a motor mixus. So the guy gives you right away the money. Immediately. That's as if there was no, claim at all. It was only on the 50 to begin with, not even 100. The guy gives him right on the spot. So we're saying that the fact that the mashkin is there, it's not like the guy is giving him right on the spot. It's not considered. And therefore, that the mashkin isn't really anything. Now, it depends how much was the mashkin. So, but the general rule is he's still considered a moda b'mitzas and theoretically should have to swear, but depending on how the situation pans out. Now, let's say, ein a mashkin shava elach hamishim apachas. Let's say the mashkin is only worth 50 or less than that 50. Okay? So now what do we make the guy say? Hareza nishba, he has to swear. Okay, he has to swear. Umeshalim hachamishim shorovim. Now he has to pay the 50 that he admits because that's what he admitted. Right? That's what he admitted. He admitted 50, right? So, and the collateral is worth 50. So 50 for sure you got to pay if you want to, right? You have to pay back the 50.
Does the lender keep that collateral when he pays the 50?
It would seem he would still keep.
And then he's actually being 100.
No, we have to deal with the other 50.
Well, if the lender keeps the collateral and the defendant paid the 50, then he's essentially paid 100.
Let's see. Hareza nishva umishama chamishin shahoyde bohem. My commentator says this is pasha. All right. Let's look at the next case, and maybe we'll come back to this. Haya mashkin shava meo yoser. What if the mashkin is worth more than 100 or more? So really, hoyel v'malve yochalitin alav ad kidei damav. Really, the malve could really claim until that amount of money. Because he has that claim for himself, because he's holding on. What are you doing holding on with 100 thing? So it's kind of believable, right? It's more like he's got the 100. So here what we do is, we'll reverse it. The malva says, you didn't pay me back, and you just collect the stuff. And the lova can't patter himself up with a motive of mixas. And v'notol nitmei amashkin. He just collects from the mashkin. But that case makes a lot of sense, right? Because he's already holding on to the 100. And so if the mashkin is worth the 100, I don't need you. I don't need you to anything. I say, pay me the money. I'd like you to pay me the 100. So what's the guy saying? Well, I only owe you 50. Well, who needs you? I'm just taking the 50. I'm taking the whole thing and finish. But I got to make an oath. You never paid me back. And he takes the thing for the 100. And if you can prove that I didn't owe you the 100, then go prove it. But I got the biggest proof in the world that I got a mashkin worth 100 on my claim that's 100. So that makes sense. That middle case makes sense. Let's go a little further. What if that mashkin is worth 80? Right? So nishva malva, the malva makes an oath, even though he claims 100. He says, she'ein lo pachas mishmonim. I for sure didn't give him less than 80. Because this way, it's true what he's saying to what he's getting. V'not l'min ha-mashkin. He gets the mashkin. He takes the mashkin. Because he's got the 80 on it. V'nishba ha-lova min ha-torah ala esrin shekarfen. The lova now has to make a biblical oath on the 20 that he is denying. Shekofar bohen. Okay? Because there's 20 that he's still denying. And he doesn't have a lova on that. Okay, so again, the majority of the thing, of the claim was his. All right? Now, what if kofar bakol, what if he denied the whole thing? For Amar ein ze mashkin el pikodon. This isn't a mashkin. I gave that for you to watch for me. The ein lesik, I don't owe him anything. This is a complete counterclaim. So now, nilshve hamalve, the malva, again, in this case with the 80, he say, well, listen, I'm still holding on to it. So since he's holding it, he still has the advantage. So she'ein lo pasma, he'll swear, I don't have less than 80. V'nishba alove heses al esim. And he still has to make a shvuas heses on the other 20, because there's a denial under the other 20, because he's denying the whole thing. Since he's denying the whole thing, well, 80, I don't care what you're going to say. I'm still holding on to the 80, but the 20 you're in denial. So the only thing is we have to figure back that first case again. Let's go back for a minute and try
to
figure.
Why would that be different than the 80-20 one? Why don't we do the same thing? Just because it's 50-50.
Okay, let's go back to the first one. If the mashkin was only worth 50, hareza nishva, the guy swears, umishalim hachamishi shehoda bahem. Maybe it's just he pays the 50 and the guy just collects the mashkin. Maybe that's the first case. If the mashkin was 50, and he says, I only owe you 50, so he swears, and the guy keeps the mashkin for 50.
So it's the same as the 80-20
one? No, but no, this time, no, it's the lova, the borrower, swears. And just and now you keep it, and that's just, it all fits in. You couldn't take more than 50. I admit to the 50, and now let's make an oath on, and he has to make an oath on the other 50. I think so. No, I'm not sure. What do you think? What does your commentary say?
It says it's a big machlokas about this halach that you mentioned.
Well, the Rambam says it's not,
and the others say it is.
Okay,
so I think that's the case.
But the Rambam's saying it's not halach. Yeah. So what does he do? So he Well, he's still making the oath. He's still making the oath, and now the guy keeps the 50. The guy keeps the mashkin. And now the other 50, he didn't have to pay. Because that why make the oath if he doesn't gain from that? That was your question, Shelley, right? No, the guy says, you owe me 100. Yeah? The guy says, I only owe you 50. Right? The mashkin's worth 50. Okay? So now the borrower will swear that I only owe you 50. And now the owner, the guy will keep the mashkin.
So the lender doesn't pay him the 50, he says he owed him.
Well, I already effectively paid him the 50 because he's holding on to it.
That was my original question.
So he holds on to 50. In the case where the mashkin was 100 or more, so now we reverse it. The lender just swears it was 100 and he takes the 100. If it's 80, he swears for the more to keep. But in other words, whatever he's got, he's going to keep.
Right.
But when it's more than what the guy claims, then only he has to swear to keep it. If it's equal, the mashkin's equal, then the borrower can make the claim equal to that, and then he swears, and now you get to 50, and I don't have to pay the other 50.
Okay.
Shker.